A good time starts with a great wardrobe. Next stop, JCPenney. Family get-togethers to fancy occasions, wedding season too. We do it all in style. Dresses, suiting, and plenty of color to play with. Get fixed up with brands like Liz Claiborne, Worthington, Stafford, and J. Farrar. Oh, and Thereabouts for kids. Super cute and extra affordable. Check out the latest in store, and we're never short on options at jcp.com. All dressed up, everywhere to go. JCPenney.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Wow, do we have a jam-packed show today. Congressman Jim Jordan is going to be here in just a little while. He is chairman of the House Judiciary, and we have some big news, breaking news about the FBI and the FBI being weaponized against Catholics. And we're going to get into that with the congressman a little bit later on. Also, Congressman Ronnie Jackson from Texas, is going to weigh in on this effort to pardon Daniel Perry. He is the Uber driver who was surrounded by BLM protesters. One of them actually pulled out an AR-15 and aimed the weapon at Mr. Perry, who, again, was just doing his job. Mr. Perry pulled out a gun to defend himself, and, of course, he's been found guilty of murder by a George Soros district attorney. Governor Greg Abbott says he is going to pardon it. So we're going to talk to the congressman about that. And Edward Graham is here with Samaritan's Purse, and they've been leading a lot of relief efforts around the nation in the aftermath of these massive tornado outbreaks. But I do want to start out today, and we're going to get into what's happening in China. Fox News Channel leading the charge, saying that it looks as though we are going to be getting involved in a war with the Chinese. And I just don't know how many wars, ladies and gentlemen, this country is going to be able to fight. We have what was once the greatest fighting force on the planet is now the wokest fighting force on the planet. And it seems as though the Pentagon is more interested in turning our brave fighting men and women into social justice warriors than killing machines. Keep in mind, the whole point of having a military and having the greatest military in all of the world is to break things and blow up the enemy. That is the whole point. But right now, the Biden administration is more interested in confusing people about their pronouns. And this is where we are in the military right now. So we're going to get into that as well. But I do want to start with this very disturbing story involving the Biden administration's attacks on Christianity, this war on Christianity. And folks, I'm telling you, this is the greatest fight of our lifetime. And I want to explain why. I was watching over the weekend. I don't know why I do this, but sometimes I go back and I rewatch a series. And years ago, there was a great HBO series about the life of John Adams, our second president. And in the course of this film, they did a pretty remarkable job of showing how faith influenced our founding fathers. It was very subtle, but if you know what you're looking for, it's there. Our founding fathers, when they were putting together what it would be like to live in this country, what does it mean to be an American? The first freedom they agreed upon was the freedom of religion. It is our bedrock freedom. All of our other freedoms rest on the freedom of religion. And I've contended in a couple of books, the most recent being Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. I contend that if you chip away at the foundation of this nation, which is religious liberty, then every single one of our other freedoms is in jeopardy. And that's what's happened. Over the decades, we have ignored these attacks on freedom of religion. And now we are in a very precarious state as a country. I go back to the early days of the China virus pandemic when the government was coming in and shutting down our churches. And instead of pushing back, instead of fighting back, many pastors around the nation surrendered. They lowered the Christian flag and they shut their doors. Many churches who refused to cooperate were targeted by police. I think right off the top of my mind about a church congregation, a Baptist church, a small Baptist church in Mississippi, where they gathered in the parking lot. They sort of had a drive-in church service where the pastor preached from the front steps of the church house and people sat in their cars and they listened. The police showed up and every single person, most of them elderly, by the way, were given citations, were given fines by the Mississippi government because they were violating the law. I think about Christians in Idaho who gathered in a public park and they sang songs and they prayed together and people were arrested. They were fined for singing hymns and praise songs. Here in the United States of America, many churches across California were slapped with thousands of dollars in fines because they ignored the demands of the government, the Biden administration. And so here we are, and I want to share a couple of things that have happened just in the past few days that I believe verify that this is an all-out assault on people of the Christian faith. And keep in mind, they're not targeting the Muslims. They've been targeting the Christians and the Jews. I would direct you to former New York City Mayor Comrade Bill de Blasio, who actually sent police, and he himself showed up to shut down a funeral for an Orthodox Jewish man. Great evil that was perpetrated on the Jewish people and the Christian people. The Muslims, they leave alone, and we know why. No need to talk about that. It's an explosive conversation. So in the recent days, and there have been several instances, and I want to get to these, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this as well. Do you believe there is a war on Christianity? And what do you think the end game here is? There's a rhyme and a reason to everything this administration does. This third term of the Barack Hussein Obama administration. And I'm curious to know what you think the end game is. I know what the end game is, but I'm curious to hear from you. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. A few days ago, there was a complaint raised at the VA clinic, the VA medical clinic in Austin, Texas. That's the place where military veterans go to get checkups. If they get sick, they can go and get health care there. They can be treated for their illnesses, their injuries. There's a beautiful cross in the lobby of the VA hospital. I do not know how long it's been there, but it's been there for a while. Well, a group called the Military Religious Freedom Foundation filed a complaint and threatened to sue the VA if they did not remove that cross. And within 90 minutes of the complaint, the cross was removed. Now, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation is anything but religious. They say they represent Christians, but I find that hard to believe. This organization is led by a man named Mikey Weinstein, and he, again, is a radical. This guy targets Christians, especially in the military, and this is all well documented in Culture Jihad. So the cross came down. There was another story involving the Merchant Marine Academy. A beautiful painting of Jesus had been on the wall since 1944. And after people complained, the Transportation Department and the Merchant Marine is under Pete Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg ordered that a white sheet be placed over the painting of Jesus Christ. That painting, by the way, portrayed Jesus looking over sailors lost at sea. Then comes word that Catholic priests were issued a cease and desist order from General Mark Milley at the Pentagon. They were told they would no longer be able to minister to Catholic patients at Walter Reed National Medical Center. And then yet late yesterday, Jim Jordan dropped the bombshell that the FBI had been weaponized to take out Roman Catholics. And Congressman Jordan has information that the FBI intentionally infiltrated Catholic parishes around the nation, and specifically in the Richmond, Virginia area, to root out what they consider to be radicalized Catholics. Now, I've never heard of such a thing. But in their estimation, radicalized Catholics are any Catholics who follow the Latin Mass or believe in traditional Catholic doctrine. Now, the Obama administration pulled this same kind of malarkey back in the day during both terms when he was in office, but they targeted evangelical Christians. And many religious groups, including the Family Research Council and American Family Association, were actually labeled as domestic hate groups. So my question to you, and we're gonna talk at length about this with Congressman Jim Jordan, but I'm curious to hear from you today, this hour of the program. Do you believe there is a war on Christianity, and why do you think that is? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Again, we're opening up the phone lines this hour. We've got a jam-packed show. Governor Scott Walker from Young America's Foundation is here. A lot of ground to cover. This is the Todd Stern Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. That's legacypminvestments.com. Or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Daryl in Arkansas watching us on Rumble, and we want to say hello to all of our great Rumble friends. Hey, Daryl, what's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Just wanted to comment on your war on Christianity. I believe that the war on Christianity really started in America when they took prayer out of our schools and allowed immorality to seep in, and now we're reaping the benefits of that really poor decision. And it's important to the government to erase any and all faith and hope that we would have in our Lord Jesus Christ, because they need the people to believe in the government, not in God. And that way they can have total control.
That's part of it, Daryl. I think you're absolutely right. I think broadly speaking, when you look at what's happening in the culture and the rise of these radical progressives who are socialist and communist coming out of our public school system, the only way they're going to be able to take over our nation is to destroy the church and to be able to put government's thumb on the actions of the church. And that's what really concerned me about the China virus pandemic, is how willing the churches were just to say, we surrender, we're going to do what the government tells us to do. I had a big problem with that.
Well, there's a lot of people in this country that just became sheeple and just fell right in line. So the government experiment in that area gave them even more bold powers that they know that the American people obviously don't want to stand up for themselves.
Yeah, it's a great point, Daryl. And again, this is all part of conditioning. I was talking to one of my family members who happens to be in college at the University of Memphis and telling me that they're being taught all sorts of radical CRT stuff. It's unbelievable the level of indoctrination. And they're specifically targeting, and this is fascinating, but they're specifically targeting the white students. And the whole point of this is to they want the white students to be in a submissive, almost repentive spirit for what they believe and who they are simply because of the color of their skin, which, again, they're not calling it critical race theory, but it is critical race theory. And at the heart of critical race theory is the eradication of Christianity, because as we know, under the teachings of the Holy Bible, we're all created equal. We are all made in the image of God. Well, they don't believe that, Daryl, and that's why they're coming after us.
Well, you're really spot on that in a lot of ways. It's just, I've been on this earth 66 years, and I've seen a transition from when I was young compared to where we are today. And, there is a definite agenda in place to do exactly what you have said.
All right. Well, Daryl, I sure do appreciate that call, and thank you for listening to us, watching us, rather, on Rumble. Let's go to Georgia. Robert, WDUN, our great affiliate there. Hey, Robert, what's up?
Hey, Todd. I agree with the previous caller. It's standard communist procedure to wreck churches so that people don't find spiritual strength. And the government does have their thumb on all the churches because all of them are 501c3 corporations.
And Robert, when you allow the government to step in like that, they control you. I don't care who you are, they get to control you, which
right.
is why I love groups like Hillsdale College. They don't take
That's
a single
right.
penny of government money. Neither does West Coast Baptist College, and they're training up preachers, young preachers who are not woke, who are teaching from the Bible and who also love America. And I know that there are these radicalized Christianity Today people out there who say, "Oh, that's nationalism, Christian nationalism." There's nothing wrong with being a Christian and loving your country.
I agree. And we also love Hillsdale College, and so did my father.
Robert, well, I appreciate you. And by the way, they're coming on board as a sponsor of this program, so we're going to be having a lot of their professors on. They're doing some incredible work training up those next generation of patriots. Robert, appreciate that call. Let's go to LJ, Georgia. Joe from LJ. Joe, it's been a while. Hope you're doing good.
Todd, I'm doing great, and I'm so glad you're back on the air. I was so sorry you had to go through your little health scare, but you sound great, and I agree with everything you're saying. There is a war on Christianity, but I'm down in Sea Island, Todd, and they love you down here, and they love Trump. A lot of people have heard me on your show, and they come up to me and tell me how much they like your show. And so I tell you what, I want to predict that the great Todd Starnes radio show is going to lead Donald Trump and the conservatives to a great victory in 2024. And I want to thank you for all you are doing and will do for the conservative cause. You're a hero to me and to a lot of other people, and I just want to say thank you so much.
Well, you're kind to say that, Joe. It's always good hearing from you, and tell the good people down in Sea Isle that I said hello, beautiful part of the country.
I sure will, Todd. Have a great day, and thank you so much.
All right, thanks for calling in. That's our good friend, Joe from LJ, and we always appreciate hearing from him. Folks, there is so much happening, and of course, I want to get to this. When we come back, we're going to weigh in on this crazy story out of Washington where the Biden administration is telling reporters, do not report anything on these leaked Pentagon documents. So we're going to get into that, and we have some audio from John Kirby. Also, some crazy stuff happening in San Francisco. How bad is it in San Francisco? It's so bad. The crime, the drug use, so bad, Whole Foods announcing they're closing their downtown grocery store. Downtown San Francisco is now a food desert. And Whole Foods, which is as liberal as they come, Whole Foods says it's too dangerous. They said they can't stock liquor because everybody steals the liquor. They had to shut down the bathrooms because apparently people are literally leaving their syringes and their crack pipes in the bathrooms. Whole Foods says, you know what, folks? You're going to have to get your organic kumquat someplace else because we're shutting down. We're getting the heck out of there. We'll talk about that. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. Hey, ToddStarns.com. Check out our great website. Caleb Park, his great team of writers working overtime for you. We'll be right back, America. Just when you thought it could not get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that's made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. And for my listeners, an exclusive. The MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS for the buy one, get one free offer and enter the promo code STARNS.
Todd, we know what the end game is, and it's in the Bible. Whether it's happening now or whether it's going to happen after our lifetime, I don't know. But we know what the end game is, and we knew it was going to happen.
All right. Well, there you go. Thanks for that shout back. That's Mark from the Village used to say, hey, how do you get to do that? Well, it's really simple. All you have to do is download our free app. And if you go to kwamradio.com, that's the radio station I own, kwamradio.com, and look at the very top of the page, you'll see app. Download the app, and you'll be able to send us a shout back, just like Mark from the Villages in Florida did. So we'd love for you to do that. And you can also listen to KWAM Radio as wherever you are in America. So we have some great conservative hosts, Seb Gorka, Lars Larson, the whole nine yards, Rita Cosby, good people there. All right, this story coming out of Beer Business Daily, which is an industry insider publication, and they're saying that beer distributors in the South and in the Heartland are very concerned about cancellations. Turns out a lot of you folks have sent in letters and said, you know what, no more Anheuser-Busch products for us. We're done. This coming after Anheuser-Busch embraced Dylan Mulvaney as an influencer, the man who thinks he's a woman. He wears a Nike sports bra, even though he has no boobs. He's a boob, but he has no boobs. By the way, Dylan Mulvaney doing an interview with Jeffrey Marsh on Girlhood. I kid you not. Take a listen.
Girlhood becomes stronger when there's more of us behind it.
Only certain people are allowed in, but who's allowing? That's the real question.
Who is? You know? I don't. Maybe there isn't one. And maybe that's maybe the beautiful part of it. Do you have any relationship to the concept of girlhood?
I absolutely do. I find girlhood to be inspiring. There are a lot of human beings who are girls who transcend what their gender is supposed to be.
Yes.
And that to me is something I draw strength from and excitement from.
Absolutely. And I hope this is the start of a lifelong friendship. What do you think, people?
I love you all.
Okay. We got to do my signature. Okay. Okay, ready? Love ya!
Uh-huh. Okay, let me just say something here. I've got a few thoughts on this. First of all, those guys are perverts. And number two, they're mentally ill. Something is not right there. They need psychological help. Those two are not women. They're men mocking women. And we need more men and women to get out there and call this crap out for what it is. But anyway, the good news is that apparently a lot of you have decided, yeah, we're going to start boycotting these products. We're not going to be using these products. A lot of people now going after Nike. Nike firing back saying, you people out there need to be inclusive. Shame on you for mocking Dylan Mulvaney. That's coming out of Nike headquarters. The people over at Tampax, they're using Dylan Mulvaney to promote their product. Now, that's a TV commercial I want to see. I mean, how is the guy using the product? Right? Unbelievable. So anyway, Anheuser-Busch now very concerned because many, many stores around the country, especially in the South and the Midwest, are pulling their products from the shelves. John Rich, by the way, came out yesterday or last night on Tucker Carlson's show, and he says no more Anheuser-Busch products in their bar in Nashville, in his bar in Nashville. And here's what it's pretty fascinating what he said. John Rich said, this is not about me. This is about the customers. And he says the customers are always right, and the customers do not want Bud Light. So he has pulled Bud Light from his Redneck Riviera bar. And I say, good for them. He says, quote, we've got cases and cases sitting in the back. And, of course, this comes after Travis Tritt boycotted Bud Light, says they will not be allowed on his tour bus. And Kid Rock is using cases of Bud Light as target practice. So people are really upset about this. Tucker says, the customers decide. Customers are king. Our number one selling beer up until a few days ago was Bud Light. Really? Really? That was at the Redneck Riviera? Really, John Rich? Okay. And then he goes on to say, we've got cases and cases of it sitting back there. I guess talking about in the back of the bar. So there you go. It's really irritated a lot of people. And I'm wondering if the transgender community at large, which, by the way, there are not that many of them, if they understand that this is not playing well. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go to this story out of San Francisco. I just think this is brilliant. So San Francisco has declared war on the police. We've seen this time and time again in many, many American cities that are controlled by radical progressive Democrats. And they are not hiring police officers. The police officers are not well paid. There is a big problem. And so now, this once beautiful city, and San Francisco's always been liberal, but it's been a beautiful city. But over the past decade, it has become a war zone. It is a filthy place. They're having to spend tens of millions of dollars just on groups they call poop patrols. And their job is to literally go around and clean up the human feces on the streets and sidewalks of San Francisco. It's not safe for children to go to parks in San Francisco. Do you know why? Because the drug dealers and the drug users leave their needles and their crack pipes lying all over the place. Crime is off the charts, and we've told you about drug stores that are shutting down, businesses that are closing up. And now, of course, Whole Foods announced that they're shutting down, at least temporarily, their downtown location. Whole Foods says, quote, if we feel we can ensure the safety of our team members in the store, we will evaluate a reopening. But I don't think that's going to happen. The San Francisco Standard reports that the beleaguered grocery store on Market Street, again, a beautiful location, slashed its operating hours due to high theft and hostile visitors. In November, the store enforced new bathroom rules after syringes and pipes were found in the bathroom. Supervisor Matt Dorsey, one of the elected leaders, said he was incredibly disappointed but unsurprised. Quote, it's the only supermarket I'm aware of in the city where the only basket you can get is a push cart simply because they were just used for shoplifting. Our neighborhood waited a long time for this supermarket, but we're also well aware of problems they've had with drug-related retail theft, adjacent drug markets, and the many safety issues related to them. I don't blame them one bit. And it's happening in cities all across America, ladies and gentlemen. If you are controlled by Democrats, you are living in a war zone. Like Memphis, Tennessee. Again, a beautiful city. Some of the kindest people in America living here. And yet we are controlled by a majority of progressive Democrats, a radical group They call themselves Decarcerate Memphis, but I call them Defecate Memphis. And what do? They declare war on the police, and crime runs rampant. It's terrible. Let's go to the phones. Catherine in Georgia watching us on Rumble, and welcome to all of our great Rumble viewers. Hi, Catherine. How are you today?
Hi, Todd. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
My problem is they keep calling these people like Dylan Mulvaney men, and any of these other trans whatever. They're not men. They may be male, but men is just not a title they deserve.
Catherine, I want you to think about this. Now, I grew up in the 1970s. I went to elementary school. I don't recall ever seeing someone like that. This is some sort of a newfangled thing where you have these men behaving like little girls. I have not seen that. I certainly did not see that in my childhood growing up.
Nor did I. But, you know, part of the problem is they've closed a lot of the mental hospitals. I think we need to make mental hospitals great again as well.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Catherine. And, you know, the broader concern, you know, our enemies, they're watching this. And heaven forbid they think that most men in America are a bunch of, you know, skirt-wearing wusses.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And hopefully they're in the majority. I mean, the minority. Some of these people, hopefully they're in the minority, and we still have plenty of men left in this country.
Catherine, when you're looking at, like, for example, this Mulvaney guy, and you've got groups like Nike, and they're using him to promote women's clothing or women's this or that, would you be more or less inclined to buy their products?
Well, absolutely less. They're making a joke out of women and out of feminine women. They're a caricature. They're not portraying women. Women don't act like this.
Catherine, it's a great point, and I would like to hear from other ladies, because I can tell you, I know a bunch of beautiful, drop-dead, gorgeous conservative women who are more manly than those guys are, so to speak. Catherine, God bless you. Thanks for watching us on Rumble. Right? I've never seen anything like it. It's just bizarre. And by the way, the data actually backs me up on this. Because now they're talking about how there has been a massive surge in the number of young children who identify as transgender. And the reason why is because they are being confused in that public school classroom. Ladies and gentlemen, if you can get your kids out of the public schools, get them out now, homeschool, take your kid to a private school. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Oh, I've got to tell you about our friend Mike Lindell. Mike is just crushing it. Has a brand new pillow out, MyPillow 2.0. I don't know about you, but I'd love to. It's got to be cold. It's got to be cold in the bedroom when my head hits that pillow. But the problem is the pillow always heats up. So Mike's found a solution. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. There's a brand new fabric, and it's made with a temperature regulating thread. And that's how he came up with MyPillow 2.0, the smoothest and coolest pillow you will ever own. And he's got a great deal for my listeners. We have our very own landing page, MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. You buy one MyPillow, we're going to give you a second one free of charge. Got to use my promo code Starnes. That's MyPillow 2.0. Folks, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. So there's no reason to give it a shot. Just no reason. Go ahead now and get yourself a MyPillow 2.0. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Or you can call 1-800-839-8506. Be sure to use my promo code Starnes. All right, let's go to the phones here. Mike, our good buddy in Chattanooga, Nooga Radio. How's it going, Mike?
Todd, you pushed the button, babe. But I'm going to preface this by saying I don't believe in harassing anyone or wishing them ill will of based on their race, religion, color, or sexual orientation.
I feel a butt coming.
And my grandmother taught me that. But I'm going to share something with you. I hired someone many years ago who thought he was a woman. And we got into a discussion, and I let him actually, after 9 o'clock in the morning after his show, dress as a woman. Because that's what he felt like. But he knew he wasn't a woman and didn't like women. He was a man that liked women but felt comfortable dressing as a woman. Now, it just blew my mind. It was like, whoa. I mean, I liked him before I found out. He was a good guy. How can I say because you're wearing clothes that women typically wear and you're wearing makeup and you're spending 2 hours to do something a guy would never do, how could I judge that harshly? And I had an awakening then. But I believe, and I'm a Christian, but it's going to make Christians mad. I believe most homosexuals are born homosexual. I don't think it's a choice for many of them. In my 65 years, and I changed that opinion when I was about 50, to the one I have today. However, you can't jump from there then to say you are a woman because you don't have the body parts. If you're born with male body parts, you're a male. If you're born with female body parts, you're a female. I have a problem with pushing that agenda on America, pushing that agenda on my children. Pushing it in movies, in schools, that is unacceptable. Pushing that agenda to change the face of America. And let me tell you, there aren't many macho males left, Todd. They're either in prison or in the army or police. And I predicted this 20 years ago, that any male that shows any sign at all of being forceful, arrogant, demanding, will either be thrown in jail, be neutered, or be defunded, because we have feminized America, and that's what it's about. I blame Phil Donahue for this, by the way. It's the feminization of America.
Well, yeah. I mean, Mike, they're coming out, you know, the toxic masculinity, and yet whenever there's a storm or a hurricane, who do you see wading into the floodwaters, the snake-infested floodwaters, to carry the women and children out? It's the toxic men of America. I think there's something to that, and I think we have been feminized. Trish Regan was on the show earlier this week, and she pointed out the same thing happened right before the fall of Greece and the fall of the Roman Empire. Feminization
of men. Well, the left knows exactly what they're doing.
Oh, yes.
This is pre-planned. And I'm going to be called misogynistic because of this, but I have three teenage daughters that are very conservative. You know, I said, if you ever marry a Democrat, you're done. You can marry anybody you want, but a Democrat, we got problems. But this is what it comes down to. And once again, I'm going to be called misogynistic. And everybody needs to get this through their head. Men built this country. Men built the Empire State Building. They built the phone, the concept of the phone you're using. They built the roads. Men did this. And we need to get our just rewards. And you know why we do it? Because that's what we do. We take care of our families. We take care of our country. We take care of people in need. That's who men are. And we know who we are. And let me tell you, don't mistake our kindness for weakness. And that's for China, too. Because you will be defeated if you're the enemy.
All right.
And I'm just saying that.
Yeah, Mike, sorry. We're literally coming up on a break here. So, I hear what you're saying there. And there is... There is clearly, and you can see it as long as the day is, and it started years ago when they started medicating little boys who were simply rambunctious, and we've got generations now of young boys that have been medicated into submission. But I will say this, Mike, and I appreciate the call, and good hearing from you, my friend. I will say this, that we have a very large, diverse listening audience. And I hear from a number of our gay listeners who say this transgender stuff is insanity, and they want to have nothing to do with it. And again, just because you know, if you're a guy who wears a dress, that doesn't necessarily mean you're gay, right? So anyway, Mike, I hear you and appreciate the call. Ladies and gentlemen, agree, disagree with Mike from Nuga Radio, 844-747-8868. Again, that's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So very happy to have you with us today. Coming up in just a few moments, our good friend Congressman Jim Jordan is going to be here. Also, Governor Scott Walker from the Young Americas Foundation, he's going to drop by. But, you know, we've been talking about crime across America, and it's just really insane how crazy it's gotten. And I know my building here in Memphis, when we were under construction, burglarized twice. The police, great people. We have one of the best police departments in the entire nation here, but Lord love them, there's just not enough of them. And they were like, there's really nothing we can do. Sorry about that. I had the window to the Cadillac knocked out, and that's, we're talking thousands and thousands of people here in the Memphis area that have been victims of crime, these car crimes. Since January in Memphis, Tennessee, over 3,000 cars have been stolen, and most of the perps are young kids. So anyway, Dylan, we were talking, and I guess you guys have the staff has a weekly tradition of going out to this place in the Midtown area of Memphis.
Yeah, we do. We meet most like every Monday. You know, it's really good food. So
what do they have there? It's what, Cafe Olay?
Cafe Olay.
All right.
What do they
serve there?
Well, I'm a picky eater. But,
yes.
So I mean, I think our producer Kyle would have a better answer of what they all serve. But I always get the chicken quesadillas. It never misses. It's always pretty good.
So. All right. So you guys do this every Monday. The staff.
Right, that's
the,
right.
The host never gets invited. I just want to go on the record.
Hey, you're always welcome to join us.
No. I don't want to interfere. I don't want to step in, overstep.
Okay.
So
okay.
You're at there, and you've got, you have a longtime girlfriend.
Right.
And so I guess, did she drive? Is that how that worked, or did she meet you guys over there?
We met because she was working yesterday, so we met there after her shift.
And we won't say where, but she's a nurse.
That's right.
All right.
She's
soon,
a nurse.
Hopefully soon to be Mrs.
Nurse.
Dylan. All right, Mrs. Nurse. I like that. All right, very good. So you guys are at the cafe, which is in a, again, very popular part of Memphis, the Cooper Young District. Mm-hmm. And I want you to tell us what happened last night. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, so, I mean, basically, we had dinner, we finished up, and then we kind of were walking to the parking lot. It was kind of late, I would say around like 10 or so. And the security guard was out there. He had a tennis racket, Todd. I don't know. I don't know why they wouldn't give him anything better than a tennis racket.
He was guarding the cars with a tennis racket.
Yeah. He had a tennis racket. It was a sturdy one. I will say probably looks sturdy. Anyways, he comes up to me and Mary we're walking to our car, and then he says, "Hey, I think someone broke into your car."
Really? So what was the clue that someone may have broken into the car?
The passenger window side window was broken. Just glass shattered everywhere. So it comes up, says, "I think someone broke into your car." I think he was saying that because he thought he was recognizing us as going to that car. But and that's basically how we found that out. And we've, of course, called the police. And they were very helpful. They came. We were trying to see if we could see some surveillance cameras, but yeah, there's not much you can do after that point.
I mean, did the police pretty much say, you know, folks, sorry, but there's really, you know, your stuff's gone?
Pretty much. And they had just come from another car break-in call. So, I mean,
wow.
It's just like there's no surprise at this point. And it's kind of sad that, you know, we have to be more cautious out in the Midtown area, because a lot of people, like you said, go to that area of Memphis. So it's just, you know, it's sad to see.
And again, it takes a good couple of weeks now just to get the windows replaced, because so many people are waiting here in Memphis.
Right. Yeah.
To do it. Mm-hmm. Wow. And again, these are the kinds of crimes that they consider to be nuisance crimes. So you've got Democrats who really, they don't want people to be prosecuted for these kinds of crimes. And some people say, well, it's the price you pay for living in Memphis. Well, no, no, it's not. And it shouldn't be. We should be able, and Dylan, you and your girlfriend should be able to go to a restaurant in a nice part of town or any part of town and not have to worry about your car getting broken into. My concern would be the security guard armed with a tennis racket.
I'm like, you know, if you hit someone with the net part, it's just going to break through the net.
Give them a taser at least.
Yeah.
I mean, fine. I get it. You don't want to shoot somebody, or you could at least shoot them in the knee so they, you know, they don't go out and steal other people's cars.
Right. I mean, they're going to get away if you throw the tennis racket at them anyway, you know.
God, you throw the tennis racket.
That's the best you got.
I want to see the training manual for Cafe Olé and their security team.
Me too. We need to give them a little bit of upgrade here. Come on, people.
Sir, stop breaking windows, sir. Sir, if you don't stop, sir, I'm going to throw this tennis racket at you, sir.
Ridiculous.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but
I think mostly we were just happy to be safe and, you know, alive, basically, because that's kind of where we're at in Memphis right now.
A couple of days ago, some poor woman with her kids, and you've got these other kids armed with guns, and they come up to this woman and her children. They literally shove the gun in her chest. Mm. As like, hand over the car keys. And again, I'm telling you, I would rather, if I'm having to gamble with my life, I would much rather be able to take my chances with a 25-year-old car thug than a 12-year-old car thug. And by the way, that's how old some of these kids are, 12, 13 years old, one at 11 years old. And apparently they're out there stealing these cars. They get them, they arrest them, and then they're sent right back out on the street again. And a couple of them actually been recaptured with their ankle monitors on. I wonder if that's who did your crime.
Maybe. I know this is a shocker to you, Todd, but they did say that the perpetrator's car was a gray Infiniti.
Of course it is. I'm just shocked.
I know that's, and tinted windows too. Right?
How dare you profile? I love the evening news. I don't know if this happens in your local news, but they'll say, you know, the suspect was wearing white clothing, a white hat, driving a white car, but they will not tell you, they will not give you a description of the actual suspect. Mm-hmm. So everything, you can go there, but you can't go there.
That's right.
There, as they say. All right. Well, Dylan, sorry that you went through that. My goodness. Please tell the future Mrs. Nurse that thoughts and prayers. It's not going to bring the window back, but we'll, you know, it is what it is. All right, 844-747-8868. If you want to send your sympathies to Dylan, that's 844-747-8868. I know you're going to be shocked by this, ladies and gentlemen, but now it turns out that we have new intel on the raid at Mar-a-Lago when the FBI staged a pre-dawn, guns-drawn raid in the home of the former president, one Donald John Trump. This from the reporting of Fox News, the writer Michael Lee. It turns out that contrary to original reporting, the Biden administration was, in fact, involved in the raid on President Trump's home. So, folks, we told you at the time it smelled of politics. Now we have the proof. This is all political. Officials were stunned to find out about the news on social media. According to Reed Rubenstein of America First, the evidence suggests Biden officials in the executive office of the president and the Justice Department unlawfully abused their power and then lied about it to the American people. The government, it seems, acknowledges no limits on its power to harass, intimidate, or silence its political opponents. Now, Eric Trump was on the channel, Fox News Channel, confirming all of this. It's just shocking what's happening right now in Washington, D.C. The level of corruption. The new information confirms Fox News reporting from August when a letter was written to Trump's attorney alluding to the administration's involvement. Records show that John Laster, the archives official responsible for administrating all access requests, was involved in the request despite the archives' claim that it had not been involved. So everybody's lying. Everybody is lying. It's a good old-fashioned CYA episode. That's what's going on. So I'm not surprised, but somebody needs to pay a price here. I'm telling you, this president's done nothing wrong, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, I guarantee you, the charges from Fat Alvin Bragg are going to be thrown out of court. Because, again, this president has done nothing wrong. Let's go to the phones. Rebecca, Maine, WLOB, wants to weigh in on this raid. Hey, Rebecca, what you got for us?
Thank you for taking my call, Mr. Starnes. First of all, I want to make a comment about what happened with Dylan. If you're not armed, you're not a threat. And I'm sorry I'm going to get pushed back on that, but that's kind of the truth. That guy was not a threat to anybody, even if he had seen them. A tennis racket is never going to be a weapon of choice. Knowing how to use it, knowing how to be trained with it, completely different subject. But what happens to President Trump?
Well, hold on, Rebecca. Why would you get pushback from us? We are Second Amendment folks here.
not from you all, sir, but from people that may be listening that haven't quite figured it out yet.
Well, then go ahead and preach, Rebecca. Preach!
I will. I mean, I believe in being trained to use the weapon that you may choose to carry and to know it, because I honestly believe, sir, that you are not a threat if you're not carrying. I don't care how big you are, how dynamic your jiu-jitsu karate stuff is. Unless you're able to say, this is what I will do if you continue to make these decisions, we're in the situation, and I believe that is part of why our forefathers established the Second Amendment.
That's right, Rebecca. And look, the thugs are not stupid. I mean, you know, they're intelligent. they see what's happening. They know they're not going to face charges. They know they're not going to go to jail. They know there's no penalty for breaking the laws. So they're going to go out there and they're going to keep committing crimes. And so this is not something that can be resolved overnight, but it is something that we can fix.
Well, I mean, just, I'm going to take that one step further. I'm using this casually, but the gentlemen that were tossed out of Tennessee's legislature because they couldn't follow the rules, coming back with, well, we didn't know. I'm going, well, you know, you are all given the same brief. And the fact is ignorant is not does not exempt you from, breaking rules.
And Rebecca, on that note, let me say, first of all, those two are no gentlemen, but one of them who was brought back yesterday, he marched back in, and he did so with his arm raised high, fist clenched, the whole Black Panther, Black Power thing. And, now they're upset, Rebecca, because the Republicans are a little awkward around him. That's the new complaint, is that the Republicans are awkward. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, you called them a bunch of raging white supremacists. I'd feel a little awkward, too. It's unbelievable. Exactly. Anyway, you wanted to talk about Mar-a-Lago.
Actually, I do want to talk about Mar-a-Lago. I want to talk about the fact that I don't believe there is another person out there in our fine country that could be taking the abuse and the throttling that the president gets every single day of his life. And I was not even a little surprised when you reported that it was known. I mean, you know, we have this thing in my house. We say it's from Game of Thrones. It is known, Khaleesi. It is known. The government is, bad juju. They are not good people, and they are doing some things to a person that anyone else would, if this happened to anybody else, they would quiver and fall over flat. He is an amazing human being.
And Rebecca, just to illustrate this, and I like Ron DeSantis. If he's the nominee, he's got my full support. All right. I just want to get that out before I say what I'm about to say here. But have you noticed how DeSantis has been changing his position on stuff to reflect Donald Trump's position? That is the problem. Be your own man. That's who Donald Trump is. How many of us have said, Mr. President, you got to ease up on the tweets? He's not doing that because that's who he is. We may not like it, but he doesn't care. That's what he wants to do. But Ron DeSantis, Ron DeSantis does not feel that comfortable yet in his own skin. And that ultimately, I think, is the bigger issue there. But, Rebecca, we got to run. We're late for a break. I like the way you, Rebecca, we just need to let you co-host the show. I mean, you're right on the money.
I'm coming down there, so maybe next year.
Well, you never know. All right, well, be sure to look us up, and we'll treat you to some sweet tea and maybe some, I don't know, buttermilk biscuits or something. All right, Rebecca, Maine, WLOB. We got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. By the way, Dylan, our good friend Paul Shanklin from the Rush Limbaugh Show, who is now a part of our program, he says, Dylan, welcome to Memphis. So there you go. All right. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Never.
The roar of our engines, the pump of our heartbeats, the pedal to our metal, the sparks that ignite us, the pistons that push us, the passions that drive us. From the feelings that move us to the places that pull us on the roads that unite us. With nearly 6,000 stores and over 17,000 auto care centers, NAPA has America's largest network of parts and care, here to keep you firing on all cylinders.
Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. May I just take a moment of personal privilege? So, I hesitate to share this with you, but I'm doing my gut level best. But hopefully, by the end of the year, you will see less of me. And the reason why is because I'm on this diet. I'm losing weight. And I'm doing it the old-fashioned way, which is getting out there and, you know, cutting back on the barbecue and the biscuits. Switched over to unsweet tea. Mm-mm-mm. And then I do a lot of exercise. I'm out there walking and, you know, just trying to get into shape. So anyway, my good friend Paul Shanklin, who is, again, one of the great writers, parody writers for Rush Limbaugh, now a part of our team here at the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Paul lives in the area, and his wife, Angie, is they're two of the nicest people you will ever meet in the world. Just good, good people. And his wife is one of the most amazing cooks I've ever met, and just unbelievable. So Angie sent me a note and said, hey, you know, we want to try to help you out. I want to cook you a meal. And I'm never going to turn down a home-cooked meal. And so yesterday, after the show, she and Paul came over, and she had this meal, and it was great because everything, there were instructions on everything. So heat this up to this level and put this on top. It was amazing. It was some sort of a salmon dish, and everything was homemade, and it was absolutely delicious. So I just want to say thank you to Angie, and wow, good eating. So, if you have any recommendations for, you know, ways to cut back or exercise, give me a holler. I'm open to it. And so those of you that are watching us on Rumble, you will see hopefully the transformation over time. Not making any promises, but I'm going to do my best. And back after I had open heart surgery, which had nothing to do with anything other than I was born with a bad aortic heart valve, I ended up losing some weight, started running. I ran the New York City Marathon 2 times and was having a good time until I ran the country music half marathon. There was a Gretchen Wilson cover band playing the Redneck Woman song. And unfortunately, it was in a turn. And when I made the turn, I didn't see the storm drain. Broke an ankle. Unfortunately, I recovered next to a barbecue joint. It did not end well. And hence, here I am today. All right, got to take a break here. Our good buddy, Governor Scott Walker, coming up, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Good time starts with a great wardrobe. Next stop, JCPenney. Family get-togethers to fancy occasions, wedding season too. We do it all in style. Dresses, suiting, and plenty of color to play with. Get fixed up with brands like Liz Claiborne, Worthington, Stafford, and J. Farrar. Oh, and thereabouts for kids. Super cute and extra affordable. Check out the latest in store, and we're never short on options at jcp.com. All dressed up, everywhere to go. JCPenney.
Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. Happy to have you with us today. Kellyanne Conway on Fox News Channel last night and had this to say about younger conservative voters in the Republican Party.
So we can't be beaten on this policy-wise. I think we've already won the policy arguments on the economy, on education, on a number of issues. I think we've got some work to do on the young people who think differently on abortion, perhaps, or guns or climate change. But even there, the Democrats' messages are usually cynical. The thing I'm really concerned about with this, Laura, is that the left becomes a turnout machine with young people, because influencers have this domino effect, lemming-like effect of people just all then wanting to be part of the same crowd. And if they succeed in that way, we're not doing a great job competing for ballots. We're just been competing for votes. Our candidates lost the early voting miserably last time. I mean, someone like Dr. Oz lost the early vote to John Fetterman by over 4-1. So we need to compete for ballots, not just voters and not just minds. And I think they're trying to do that with these influencers. I have faith in the American people. I think they'll catch on to this and say, I want a policy argument.
And look, when it comes to attracting younger voters to the conservative movement, there is literally only one organization that I trust to do that, which is Young America's Foundation. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now, the president of that fine organization, former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. Governor, good to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd, great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
And you know, Governor, it really is about winning hearts and minds and educating, and I'm curious to know from you, what is the role that Young America's Foundation can play in what Conway was talking about?
Well, he's exactly right. And I gave the warning about this last week after the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, very similar to what she was talking about last fall. 18 to 29-year-olds, you went by, in some cases, a 40-point margin in places like Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania, in Arizona, and Georgia. And it's not just going to be a clever digital ad campaign or some sort of student coalition alone that's going to make the difference. This is years of liberal indoctrination. So where the Young America's Foundation is involved is not, you know, in the weeks or months before an election, but in the years before. We're, you know, the efforts for 2024, 2026, 2028 are happening right now in college campuses and in school classrooms across the nation. And we've got to be engaged with more students at younger ages, and with an even better message than ever before, if we're going to keep our republic.
I think you're absolutely right. And I was very excited to hear that you guys were even going into the middle school campuses now, because this indoctrination is actually starting in preschool, and it's only getting worse as the kids get older. So I like it that you guys are even reaching out to middle schoolers these days.
Yeah, we've had two conferences for middle school kids up at the Reagan Ranch. We're having another one this weekend at the Ronald Reagan Boy at Home. We'll be having another one in June at our offices in Virginia and be participating in Mount Vernon to learn more about George Washington, the founder of our country, and obviously the first American president. But we're going to take it even further. We're going to not only help middle school students, but eventually even have materials for the parents of fourth and fifth graders, because you're right, they're starting younger and younger and younger. If we're going to counter it, we've got to do that not only at younger ages, but be even better at it. We're pleased. We're the number one conservative youth organization, for example, when it comes to YouTube. That's the number one way this generation gets their information. We just surpassed 1 million subscribers at the beginning of this year, and we had over a quarter of a billion with a B, quarter of a billion viewers out there on our videos and social media just this first quarter. That's the way we do an in round around traditional media, corporate media outlets, around classrooms, around union bosses and left-wing professors. We've got to be on campus and in the classroom, but also on their devices in ways that young people are paying attention in college and high school and middle school and younger now.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Governor Scott Walker, president of Young America's Foundation. Governor, you guys are a nonprofit, and you can't do all these things without money. And I'm wondering what sort of resources you can use from our listening audience. What can they do to help out here?
Yeah, yaf.org, yaf.org. You want to help us? We've got bodies out there now, but we want to put a person in every major state, every major region in the nation to help out in college and high school and beyond. We're you know, obviously that takes resources. We need to hold more conferences. We need to have more lectures. We, you know, there's been a lot of talk lately, rightfully so, about some of these campuses where the protesters grow out of control. We have that all the time, as you know. We've got, you know, Ben Shapiro, Michael Knowles, Matt Walsh, Katie Pavlich. Actually, one of our most interesting speakers lately has been Yaomi Park. This is the woman who's the defector from North Korea who can't believe that people are so anti-American when she tells what she went through in North Korea. All these things we do, and with all of our conferences, we do without major cost to the young people who come. We put it on through the generosity of last year over 96,000 people like the folks listening right now who help us out with maybe $25 or maybe $250 or whatever it is, yaf.org. We're completely a nonprofit.
We've been shouting this from the rooftops. I've written two books about this. A third is coming out this fall. And the main problem in this country is our nation's education system. This is the engine literally driving this radical change. And that's why I'm so excited that you guys are on the campus, because that means you're at the front lines and you're fighting this every single day and educating people, young people, about what it means to be a conservative and, quite frankly, what it means to be a patriot in this country.
What to be American, right? I mean, we appreciate you speaking for us at our conferences as well and putting out another book, because you're right. I mean, college increasingly, I almost think of a headline about college, the book would be College Sucks, because it's, other than a handful of places, it actually is not even just a matter of not being helpful. For a lot of young people, it takes people who are grounded in their communities and their families and their church in a good way, and just radically reshapes them. And you can see it, particularly in college-educated white suburban voters. You see that in these elections. It's not people working hard, blue-collar job-working folks every day. It's college-educated people who oftentimes are radicalized during their 3, 4, 5 years in college. We've got to counter.
And there has to be some, and again, this may sound weird, but there has to be some sort of intellectualness and thoughtfulness about the debate. And that's what concerns me about what happened in Wisconsin. I'm not too sure the messaging was on target, especially when it came to the issue of abortion and being pro-life. I think we need to really, really take a step back as conservatives and as a party and maybe look at our messaging. Am I off base there, Governor?
No, I think you're right. I think, unfortunately, we saw there a combination of money, a huge advantage for the liberals. George Soros and company poured millions of dollars in early on and just put the conservative on the map from 2 months out. But also, so part of it, yes, money, but part of it is just not a willingness to fight back, to counter this. We have to take these issues head on. And when it comes to an issue, for example, like the right to life, we've got to do it with compassion. We can't just be fighting, matching anger with anger, but rather with compassion, letting people understand not only the logic, but the emotion, the two are tied together. That the left does an incredibly good job politically of making everything emotional. We need to not cede our logic, but do it in ways, telling stories, giving examples, having people giving personal testimony to why they have the beliefs that they have. It's why, again, the woman I mentioned, Yaomi Park, is so powerful when it comes to counteracting communism. She doesn't just have the theory. She can tell you what it was like to live under an oppressive regime in North Korea. We have speakers from Cuba. We have speakers from Venezuela. We have speakers from the old Soviet Union. They can tell you firsthand knowledge of what it was like to live under Marxist, communist, socialist regimes, and how much better an economy and a system based on freedom and free enterprise is for every citizen, including young people in America.
All right. Well, Governor, we appreciate your time. Know you're a busy guy today. Folks, yaf.org, yaf.org, check out what they're doing. And I'm excited about this, Governor, because we have the ability through YAF to change hearts and minds. And I know our listeners are going to get plugged in. And we appreciate you coming on the program today.
Thanks so much, and keep fighting for freedom. Appreciate that.
All right. There you go, folks. Governor Scott Walker. And to his point, later tonight, I'm going to be speaking to a group of college students at the University of Memphis. We're going to be talking about capitalism and entrepreneurship. And you want to talk about breaking the chains of poverty in this nation. It's through entrepreneurship, getting out there, starting a business, getting out there and going to work, learning what it means to clock in and responsibilities and doing that at a young age. But you think back to the wealthiest man in American history. His wealth at the time represented 3% of America's GDP. I mean, that's unbelievable. J.D. Rockefeller. And this man, one of the greatest capitalists of all time, one of the greatest businessmen of all time, and he spent hundreds of millions of dollars on charity. He spent hundreds of millions of dollars on philanthropy, starting seminaries, starting colleges, the University of Chicago, and giving millions of dollars to historically black schools like Spelman University in Atlanta. This is coming from a wealthy white Republican. And whenever people asked about why he did what he did and why he was so giving of the blessings that he had been given, he said it was an outpouring of his faith in God. This guy was a devout Baptist, a Northern Baptist, not a Southern Baptist. He was a Northern Baptist. And that was an outpouring of who he was. And it's important for younger Americans to understand that it all ties in together. You know, we talk a lot about faith on this radio program, and because faith is important. Faith is the bedrock. Our first freedom in this country, according to our founding fathers, freedom of religion, it matters. And that flavors everything we do. So anyway, YAF.org, got to check that out. We'll be right back.
With your choice of select sandwich, nugs, fries, and a drink, Wendy's $5 Biggie Bag is your go-to. Your nugget wingman. Your hot and crispy fry co-pilot.
Just like us. We're like the bag boys.
What?
Bag boys, bag boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when we bring your food?
For a deal you can count on, bet on Biggie and choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Bag boys, bag boys.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Includes choice of double stack JBC or crispy chicken sandwich with four-piece nugs, junior fry, and small soft drink. Third-party delivery pricing may be higher.
Shooby-doo-wop, America. Welcome back. Wow. That was a great interview with our good friend Scott Walker. I'm curious to hear from you. How do you think we need to be reaching out to younger conservatives, younger young people? What is wrong with me today? Did you guys spike the coffee? Is the community coffee spiked today? Anyway, we need to reach out to young people. I've got to play this audio real quick for you, and I need to set this up. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we do our homework here. We go above and beyond to bring you the real story. And I have received some intel about Justin Pearson. He's the guy with the big power fro who's been expelled from the Tennessee House of Representatives. And he's got that big MLK voice, the black preacher voice going. You know what I'm talking about? I'm Todd, no ways. That's Hillary Clinton, but you get the point. Don't play it just yet, Kyle, because I have to set the stage. So we have a little intel on young Justin Pearson, who is in his mid-20s. And, of course, this young man is the victim of white oppression. Well, it turns out that Mr. Pearson was running for student body president at Bowdoin College in Maine. Now, you people in Maine, if I'm mispronouncing it, call me and I will correct me, but I believe it's Bowdoin or Bowdoin College. Guess how much it costs to go to Bowdoin College in Maine? $75,000 a year. Oh, the oppression. So Justin Pearson, $75,000 a year that he's spending on his education. He ran for student body president, and we have the audio. Don't play it just yet, Kyle. I'm not finished yet. This is good stuff. So what you're about to hear is Justin Pearson, before he adopted the 1960s Black Power Afro and the whole black preacher dialect. And you're going to hear, we're splicing it all together. So you're going to hear his speech that he gave when he was running for student body president at the $75,000 a year school that he went to. And then you're going to hear what this guy sounded like last week. All right, Kyle, let her rip.
I'm Justin J. Pearson.
Yes, I tell you, it was a sad day on Saturday.
There are a few reasons that we're running this campaign this year.
But, oh, we have good news, folks. We've got good news that Sunday always comes.
There are many issues that we can work together to solve.
And every one of us, in order to make the state of Tennessee the place that it ought to be in. So I've still got hope because I know we...
And let's chart ourselves to a better future.
We are still here and we will never quit.
And you is a big poser, my brother. That's Justin Pearson. We're going to call these people out every single time, ladies and gentlemen. This guy is a fake, he's a fraud, and he's a liar. And we're going to call these people out because these are bad dudes. This guy wants you to believe that he grew up in the housing projects, dirt poor, no shoes on the feet, because of the white man, when in fact he was going to a $75,000 a year college. By the way, I've been told it's Bowdoin College. Thank you, good people of Maine. Now, I'm just curious, does that sound like someone who's oppressed to you? Kyle, we're going to play this over and over and over. I want to play it one more time. So again, just so you know, we're calling these people out. We're exposing them. This guy's a fraud. He's worse than Al Sharpton. At least Al Sharpton is honest with people, and you know that he's a fraud. He's a grifter. But this guy wants you to think that he's some sort of oppressed young black man in America. It's a load of hooey. One more time, Kyle.
I'm Justin J. Pearson.
Yes, I tell you, it was a sad day on Saturday.
There are a few reasons that we're running this campaign this year.
But oh, we have good news, folks. We've got good news that Sunday always comes.
There are many issues that we can work together to solve.
And every one of us, in order to make the state of Tennessee the place that it ought to be in. So I've still got hope because I know we...
And let's chart ourselves to a better future.
We are still here and we will never quit.
Hello. My name is Justin J. Pearson. I'm pretending to be a white man to be elected student body president at Bowdoin College in Maine.
My brother! Which one is it? Which one are you, Justin? Pick a dialect, sir. Pick a race, sir. It's really tragic what they have tried to do in the volunteer state. I wouldn't wish this on anybody. If you listen to the mainstream media, you watch the news, you think that all of us folks in Tennessee are driving around in pickup trucks wearing white bed sheets burning crosses. And that's just simply not the case. By the way, I asked a black lawmaker. We had a black lawmaker on the KWAM morning show. Just a nice guy, really good guy. I mean, he's willing to come on and debate. We don't agree on a lot. There is stuff we do agree on. He's a Christian man. But he said, yeah, you know, The white lawmakers are just feeling awkward around these two guys. And I said, well, yeah, because those two guys called them white supremacists on national TV. And I just asked the black representative, I said, sir, how would you feel if you were accused of hating white people and wanting to lynch white people? And he actually admitted that it would be awkward. And it is. But I want the good people of Memphis listening to KWAM to know that Justin Pearson is a fraud and a complete joke. And we're going to continue to play this audio. You need to hear it. We've got to expose these people. We cannot allow people to divide us on race anymore, America. We just can't do it. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. I want to get right to the Patriot Mobile newsmaker line today. It's always a great honor to have our good friend from Ohio, Congressman Jim Jordan, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee with us. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing fine, Todd. Good to be with you.
You know, Congressman, we've covered the war on religious liberty for years, and this goes all the way back to the Obama administration. But I'm telling you, there were chills down my back when I saw the report from you yesterday that the FBI had infiltrated Catholic churches. I want you to tell our listeners what's going on.
The FBI in the Richmond field office wrote a memorandum. Memorandum was distributed all across other field offices around the country. The memorandum said we should look to develop sources, informants with inside churches, inside the Catholic parishes to spy, to snitch, to watch what they defined as radical traditional Catholics. I mean, this is such an affront to the very first liberty mentioned in the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, the first liberty we have in the Bill of Rights, your right to practice your faith. And of course, it's interesting. We put this together and finally got this information from the FBI the week before the day when more Americans attend church than any other day, Easter Sunday. So this is how scary it is. And frankly, Todd, but for brave whistleblowers getting this information out, I don't know that we'd have ever known. And for that matter, I don't know that the FBI would have rescinded the memo and said we're no longer going to do this kind of thing, but for the fact we had brave whistleblowers come forward and get this information.
Do we have any idea how many of these agents infiltrated or what the process they used?
We do not, but what we do know is that this thing was signed off by two senior analysts and the chief division counsel, so the top lawyer in the Richmond FBI field office, signed off on this, what they call a domain perspective, this memorandum that was distributed. So when you got people signing off on that, including someone who graduated from law school, who's a lawyer, who's the chief division counsel at the field office, that's alarming in and of itself. Like, what lawyer would say this is appropriate? And you know it wasn't appropriate because the FBI rescinded it. Now, again, the key question is, would they have rescinded this but for it getting public, but for the whistleblower? That we don't know. But, I mean, it's scary. We learned about them going after parents, right? We've learned about, and now we learn about the FBI going after Catholics, and other whistleblowers have told us about the bias against pro-life Americans as well. So it seems to be, as you indicated at the top of the hour here, that this is an attack on religious liberty, a direct assault on the First Amendment.
You know, Congressman, just looking over the past couple of weeks, you had the cease and desist order coming from the Pentagon to the Catholics at priest at Walter Reed. You have a situation in Austin, Texas, where a cross was ordered to be removed out of a VA clinic. The U.S. Merchant Marine Academy, where they were ordered by the Department of Transportation to cover up a painting of Jesus Christ. You wonder what in the heck is going on here with Catholic Joe Biden and his administration.
Yeah. And it's even broader than that, because never forget, 4 weeks ago, we learned that the FTC had sent numerous letters to a private company, Twitter, and asked that company, who are the journalists you're talking to? They named four journalists personally. Two of those journalists testified in front of our committee the very next day after we had learned this. The very next day, while one of those journalists is testifying, the FBI is knocking on, or excuse me, the IRS is knocking on his door. Talk about intimidation. I don't believe that's by chance. I don't believe that's accident. And also during the hearing, the Democrat members of Congress asked these two journalists, award-winning journalists, who are your sources? Another direct attack on the First Amendment. So it's scary times, unfortunately, in our great country. And it's why I think our work is so important on the Judiciary Committee this Congress.
Yeah, and Congressman, again, and I apologize if I've asked this before, but our understanding is that they were trying to develop sources among clergy and church leadership. Were they successful in those efforts?
Don't know yet. We're just at the front end. And we've only got this document, and some of this document was still redacted, but it was less redacted than what was initially brought forward by one of the whistleblowers and a document that was public. So it's less redacted that we got from the FBI, but still, you know, fairly substantial amount of redactions in this document. But we were able to put together what we've now, you know, conveyed in our letter, and that's why we subpoenaed this information and other information related to it from the FBI. Let's hope we get all that and we can figure out exactly how far this went, if it was going on in other field offices or if they were actually did develop sources who were, I mean, and also think about it, Todd. You go to church to talk to your priest, your pastor about concerns you have with your own life. You don't expect people to be spying on you, snitching on you, developing, you know, sources that are reporting to the FBI about what you may be telling your pastor, your priest. That is such an affront to religious liberty and is just so darn wrong.
I mean, you've got possibly Ray Epps and the confessional. That's what this is looking like. This is just bizarre stuff.
Congressman,
going back to the Obama administration, and I wrote a couple of books about this, this just smacks of a Barack Obama declaring war on people of faith. And they went after the evangelicals, our friends like Tony Perkins at Family Research mm-hmm. Council, American Family Association. You really do wonder if, in fact, this is the third term of the Obama administration.
Yeah, it's sad, and it's such an attack on the key institution in our culture, the family institution. From today's left, I always say the good Lord in his wisdom, the first institution He put together wasn't the church and it wasn't the state; it was moms and dads and kids.
That's
and the
it.
Attack on pro-life families, pro-life Catholics seems to be so strong and so wrong.
Now, Congressman, before we let you go, and I know you've got a busy day, the Judiciary Committee visiting New York City to hear from victims of Alvin Bragg's policies.
Yep. Look, we're going to talk to the people who've been harmed, their families have been harmed, their communities. And when you have the policies that Alvin Bragg, this liberal left-leaning district attorneys and prosecuting attorneys around the country who don't put the bad guys in jail, let them roam the streets. Bad things happen to communities. Bad things happen to families, and therefore the business environment as well. We're going to go up there and hear from the victims and hear what they have to say right in Manhattan. Because instead of focusing on that, Alvin Bragg is focusing on going after the guy who's leading in the polls, the former president of the United States. Someone he said he wasn't going to indict, wasn't going to use Michael Cohen as his star witness and indict President Trump, and then switched and changed after President Trump announces he's running for president and is leading in all the polls.
All right. Well, Congressman, we appreciate your time this afternoon and appreciate you standing up for people of faith in America.
You bet. Thank you. Todd,
all right.
Take care.
Jim Jordan, ladies and gentlemen, chairman of House Judiciary. This is a shocking thing. And again, we don't know the extent of the infiltration, but I want you to understand, and you folks, I don't care if you're a Baptist or Presbyterian or Pentecostal, you need to pay attention too. You have the federal government, the FBI, literally trying to infiltrate churches and trying to recruit Catholic priests and others to rat out people they might consider to be radicals inside their church. And this is why we have to dismantle the FBI. This is why we have to defund the Justice Department so that we can get a handle on all of this stuff. This is un-American. This is criminal. And let's just hope, and I know that Christopher Wray has been subpoenaed. He's supposed to appear before House Judiciary. We got to get to the bottom of this, and we've got to get this rooted out. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Well, I have to tell you about our great friends over at Newsmax TV. Are they not doing a great job, folks? I mean, they are literally standing in the gap for all of us. And after the indictment of President Trump, everybody turned against the president except for Newsmax. One cable news channel still leads the way in real news, and that is Newsmax. They've got a brand new poll out, and they want to hear from you. They want to know if you still support President Trump in 2024. You can vote right now. Text the word SKIP to 39747. That's SKIP to 39747. Literally takes just a minute, folks. And then you got to watch Newsmax. Incredible host Rob Schmidt, Greta Van Susteren, Eric Bolling. Newsmax on all major cable systems and streaming TVs. So don't forget, vote in the Newsmax poll. You can do it right now. Text the word SKIP to 39747.
A good time starts with a great wardrobe. Next stop, JCPenney. Family get-togethers to fancy occasions, wedding season too. We do it all in style. Dresses, suiting, and plenty of color to play with. Get fixed up with brands like Liz Claiborne, Worthington, Stafford, and J. Farrar. Oh, and thereabouts for kids. Super cute and extra affordable. Check out the latest in-store, and we're never short on options at jcp.com. All dressed up, everywhere to go. JCPenney.
All right. good people. Welcome back. Good to have you with us. By the way, if you missed the interview with Congressman Jim Jordan, all you have to do is go to our website. You can download the podcast, and you'll be able to listen to that as well as our interview with our good friend Congressman Ronnie Jackson on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, representing the 13th Congressional District in Texas. Hey, Congressman, how are you today?
Hey, Todd, I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
You know, before we jump into this Uber driver, this crazy story out of Texas, I want to get your reaction to this leak from the FBI where they've apparently been infiltrating Catholic churches, this war on religious liberty that's being waged by the Biden administration. How concerned are you about this?
Well, this is, I think this is one of the most concerning things happening in our country right now. Todd, this is full-on Soviet-era type stuff where you have institutions like the DOJ, the FBI, IRS, coming after political enemies, political adversaries, and that's exactly what you've got going on here. You know, this is just another example of the weaponization of the federal government against people that don't agree with the Biden administration, with the far left in this country. And, you know, it's been going on and on. And the disturbing part, Todd, is that they're to the point now where they don't even really care if you know that they're weaponizing the government against you. They're not even trying to hide it anymore, you know. And so the fact that they're coming after Christians now and coming after Christian faith is just, you know, pile that onto the fact that they're coming after teachers and conservatives of all types. I mean, this is really bad for our country. And if we don't stop this, if we don't figure out how to stop this right now, our country will be lost. I mean, this is very fundamental to who we are and an attack on who we are.
This is the gravest of scandals to that we know of in this administration, because this really goes to the heart of who we are as an American people, Congressman. And you know, our first freedom, freedom of religion. If they can destroy that, then every single other one of our freedoms will be at risk.
Absolutely. And, you know, they would love to do that. They're already right. If you think about it, Todd, they're basically saying that if you're a Christian, there's a high probability that you're a domestic terrorist. And so they're going to equate those two, and they're going to use the fact that you're a Christian to come after you. And it won't just stop with the FBI trying to put informants and into churches and trying to get people in churches to spy on each other and report back to the FBI so that they could potentially arrest people, you know, that don't agree with them politically. They're gonna do this. You know, they have these 87,000 new IRS agents. If you don't think that that's part of their plan, you're crazy, because they're gonna take these IRS agents and they're gonna try to come after people, you know, based on their religion and their political beliefs and whether they're conservative or liberal in the way that they think. So yeah, this is a horrible thing for our country. And I just, you know, we're going to do everything we can. I'm so sick. One thing I'll tell you right off the bat, I'm sick of, like, you have Chuck Schumer and these idiots in the Senate on the left and some in the House and other left-wing politicians coming out and saying, oh my gosh, you know, the Republicans want to defund the police. We don't want to defund the police. The Republicans want to give money to police forces and into communities all over this country to build up the police and to reestablish law and order in this country. But we are not going to give taxpayer money to an organization like the FBI that's doing unconstitutional things like coming after people based on their religious activities. I'm all for taking the purse strings and shutting down a large part of what the FBI does. We need to go in there and we need to look at all the special projects that they have going on. They need a lot more oversight. They have gone rogue.
I'm with you on this, Congressman, and that's the only way to, I mean, we've got to stop it right now, stop it dead in its tracks. I know Chris Ray's going to testify, or at least he's been called to testify before House Judiciary, but we got to stop this nonsense. And if they're coming after the churches, I say pull the purse strings right now.
That's what I say, too. We can stop that. We can shut that money down. You know, there's millions and millions of dollars that are being appropriated right now to build a brand new FBI headquarters. I don't want to build these people a brand new FBI headquarters. I don't want to give them more capability and more people right now so that they can come after our very constitutional freedoms. So they're going to have to prove to us that they're reforming this organization and that they're cleaning it up. And they better hold some people accountable, too. That's what I'm really disgusted with being in Congress over the last 2 years. Nobody gets held accountable for anything. Nothing. All this stuff happens. It gets brushed under the rug. They move on, and all these people either keep their jobs or they get reassigned to other jobs, and we find out they're causing problems in their new assignments. We have got to have some accountability in this country.
All right, Congressman. Meanwhile, in Austin, Texas, this crazy story about the Uber driver who is now facing jail time because he dared to defend himself against a Black Lives Matter mob.
Yeah, I mean, this is a disturbing story as well, right? Because you think, well, you're in Texas. Things are much different in Texas than they are in California and New York and New Jersey and places like that, because, you know, we have the constitutional right to defend ourselves and carry guns and so on and so forth. But does it really matter if you have a rogue DA like the one in Dallas, a district attorney like the one in Dallas, that can basically just throw all that out the window? It does no people in Austin. They might as well live in New York City, if they're going to live in Austin right now, based on the fact that they have this Soros-funded and appointed, or basically appointed funded DA that's calling all the shots there. So we got to clean it up, you know. And I know that Governor Abbott, wants to do something. He wants to pardon this guy, but we have to fix this where he doesn't have to go through the parole and through the pardons board. He can do this on his own. So the legislature, the Texas legislature, needs to get it together, and they need to come up with some real solutions here to stop this. They need to hold these DAs accountable. If they're not doing their job, not enforcing the law, and not protecting people from all the rampant stuff that's going on in Austin with carjackings and rapes and murders and everything else that this guy does not want to prosecute, then they need to get rid of this guy. There needs to be a process in place for them to get rid of him. And they definitely need to reform the law such that, the governor doesn't have to jump through hoops to right a wrong like this.
Well said. All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. We're running late on time here, but we appreciate the great work you're doing. And I stand alongside of you. Defund the FBI and the Justice Department.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate you having me.
Thanks, Congressman. There you go, folks. Congressman Ronnie Jackson from Texas. I mean, seriously, when you're looking at what this administration is doing and the idea that they're infiltrating churches with agents and trying to use priests and preachers as spies. I mean, this is simply outrageous, And it just cannot allow this to go unanswered. And I would go back to the Obama years when they had weaponized the Internal Revenue Service. I mean, they were going after pro-life groups, Tea Party groups, even audited the Billy Graham Association, for crying out loud. First time in the history of their ministry that they had been audited by the Internal Revenue Service. And what was their crime? Well, they had taken out an ad supporting traditional marriage when that was being debated in the state of North Carolina. So, again, we're not going back to those days. Donald Trump put a stop to all of that, and we're not going to go back to the government declaring war on good people of faith. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, I want to give you an update on a lot of the relief efforts around the nation. Tornadoes causing all sorts of damage in Mississippi, Arkansas. Edward Graham from Samaritan's Purse is going to drop by. We're going to be taking your calls as well, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Good time starts with a great wardrobe. Next stop, JCPenney. Family get-togethers to fancy occasions, wedding season too. We do it all in style. Dresses, suiting, and plenty of color to play with. Get fixed up with brands like Liz Claiborne, Worthington, Stafford, and J. Farrar. Oh, and thereabouts for kids. Super cute and extra affordable. Check out the latest in-store, and we're never short on options at jcp.com. All dressed up, everywhere to go. JCPenney.
All right, folks, I want you to write down a website address. We have a link to it in the live show blog. SamaritansPurse.org. That's SamaritansPurse.org. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line? Edward Graham, a good friend of this program. He is the Chief Operating Officer of Samaritan's Purse. Edward, hope you're doing good today.
Todd, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Wow. Definitely a lot of hurt out there across, especially the southern states, tornadoes causing all sorts of devastation from Arkansas to Mississippi. I understand that you guys are involved in relief efforts. What's going on?
Yes, sir. I tell you what, it has been an unbelievable few weeks as far as these storm systems that have moved across the South and Midwest. And I mean, it didn't seem to end there for a while, but I was able to get over there and actually visit one of the locations just right before I took off for Ukraine, and it is complete devastation. And these are small communities. Little Rock was hit, but most of these are small communities that are just completely devastated, and they need help.
And that's what you guys are doing, and the Ministry of Samaritan's Purse, the business of helping. What are the needs, and how can we help on this program?
Yeah, and I appreciate you asking. You know, we need prayers, and that's what we ask for. We ask for you pray for the local communities here. You know, Samaritan's Purse is responding by helping retarp roofs, cut debris off. Our volunteers go. We're in five different locations scattered across Mississippi, two locations in Mississippi, but Arkansas, Tennessee, and Indiana. And this is where we go through and work with the local church. We live and serve out of a local church, and we send our volunteers out from there. But it's really just tarping roofs and cleaning up debris. And then some of these communities, we're doing a rebuild. And so those individuals that are underinsured and non-insured after these storms come through, there's no one there to help them get back into a house. And that's what Samaritan's Purse does through volunteer labor. We get people back into their homes for free. No cost to them. That we always say the cost was paid on the cross. And we minister to these families. We love them. We point them to Christ and all that we do. But we want those that don't have the insurance to be able to get back in a home too. Those gaps where the federal government doesn't help. And so we do this, like I said, through the local church, and we get the best volunteers. So if people are interested, we need volunteers. You can go to SamaritansPurse.org, and it says how to get involved. Get involved by coming out and volunteering. Anyone, I promise you, we'll teach anyone how to use a chainsaw or clean up debris. We can use anybody.
Yeah, I love this about what you guys do, Edward. And the fact of the matter is that people need help. And I have to imagine the looks of relief on the faces of people who, you know, the main, when the cameras go away, the devastation is still there.
That's right. And it's the cameras, as you know, they move so quickly. And the tension goes on, but Samaritan's Purse stays until the job's complete. Like we're still in Kentucky. Remember Mayfield when the tornado came through there almost a year and a half ago and completely destroyed that community? We're still there doing rebuilds and getting people back into their homes. We're in other parts of Kentucky where the flooding happened. So we'll be in these communities for a while. One of them's not too far from you in Covington. It's just north of Memphis. So these are small communities that don't get the attention the national news often. If it does, it happens for a day or two and then it moves on. And that's why we just need our volunteers to keep praying and serving.
And that's it. And Edward, I own KWAN, the news talk station in Memphis, and so we've been encouraging folks to volunteer, get engaged, and it's been exciting to see so many people in the Memphis area lending a helping hand. And
yes,
folks, KWAM listeners, if you would like to get involved through Samaritan's Purse, again, go to our live show blog and click on the website link, and they're going to get you hooked up pretty quickly. You know, Edward, from the very practical needs, I have to imagine there are also opportunities for you guys to minister to people. And I know in many instances you guys actually send out chaplains.
That's right. And so while what we call our orange shirt volunteers with Samaritan's Purse, because we dress them in orange for safety reasons, but they go out and serve and cut back the debris. But we also have chaplains that are trained in how to share hope in crisis, and they come from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And so while the volunteers are serving and cleaning up the homes and the debris and re-roofing, putting new roofs on, the chaplains are going there, and they're there to answer the questions why. Really, they listen. And their first job is to listen and love on that homeowner. But all the time, the homeowners ask, why are you here? Or why did this happen to me? Why did I lose my home? Or why did I lose my loved one? And those are where those chaplains are trained to listen and then share hope during time of crisis. And that hope comes from Christ, our hope in Christ. And that's what we want these homeowners to know, that God has not forsaken them, that God does love them. He loves them so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for their sins. And that's what these chaplains are great at. But there's a huge spiritual need during times like this.
All right. Well, Edward, again, we appreciate you taking time out today. And I know our audience, they're incredibly generous and they love to volunteer. And folks, if you cannot make it out there to Mississippi or Arkansas, Edward, I have to imagine people can also make a donation online.
That's correct. You can go to SamaritansPurse.org and you can give specifically to these storms or specific storm or most needed. But really, we covet your prayers and then your time to volunteer.
All right. Well, Edward, we appreciate you always and the great work you guys are doing. Certainly our team will be praying for you and all the great volunteers hoping to rebuild these parts of Mississippi and Arkansas.
Todd, we appreciate it. We pray for you too, buddy. Thanks for all that you do.
All right. Edward Graham, everybody, from Samaritan's Purse. It's been a great day here on the program. Some great guests. And again, if you miss that interview, you can go back and you can listen to it over at ToddStarns.com on our blog. All right. We've got to take a quick break here. We'll be going right to the phone line. So this next few moments for you, give us a call. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
A good time starts with a great wardrobe. Next stop, JCPenney. Family get-togethers to fancy occasions, wedding season too. We do it all in style. Dresses, suiting, and plenty of color to play with. Get fixed up with brands like Liz Claiborne, Worthington, Stafford, and J. Farrar. Oh, and thereabouts for kids. Super cute and extra affordable. Check out the latest in-store, and we're never short on options at jcp.com. All dressed up, everywhere to go. JCPenney.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Let's get to the phones as promised. 844-747-8868. Open lines until the end of the program today. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Georgia, WDUN, our great affiliate there, James. Hey, James, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. It's good to hear from you, and thanks for taking the call. I was in the car listening to the interview you did with the congressman from Texas, and I appreciate everything that he's doing and that all of our conservative leaders are doing. But it occurs to me, I've had this thought hundreds of times, that the reason that he's there, you know, people like me and you probably, we spend a lot of our time and energy trying to get conservatives elected, and we do that based on the promises they make to end the kind of corruption that's going on in the Justice Department, the FBI. And then here are the congressman from Texas, who I have great respect for, no disrespect at all, but him calling on us to, you know, help make a stop, and of course we do have a role in that, but I don't understand why there's, you know, not just a continuous barrage of oversight hearings, interviews by Congress, now that we have a razor-thin margin in the House, to stop this sort of thing, or at least discourage it to the point where it's not easy to do. We hold the purse strings now for the first time in a while, and while we have them, I think we should do more to use that authority, just like the Democrats are not shy at all about doing that. The FBI doesn't, and the Justice Department, they don't need to have the free rein to do what they're doing, as long as we have oversight and hold them accountable.
I want to give you an example of, and James, I completely agree with everything you just said. And my big problem with the Republicans is they hold the hearings, they make all these wild accusations, people are going to jail, this is going to make Watergate look pale in comparison, the whole nine yards. We hear this all the time. I mean, when the Republicans controlled Congress during the first 2 years of the Trump administration, that's all we heard. But James, guess what happened? Not a single person was arrested. Nobody was charged. And so to that point, earlier today, Congressman James Comer, who is heading up the House Oversight Committee, and he's in charge of the investigations, Fox and Friends, to their credit, actually pushed Comer in a very long interview over whether or not the Biden family broke any laws. And he refused to answer the question. He is sort of hemmed and hawed, but what that tells me is, either they don't have anything or they're on a fishing expedition. And it seems to me if you're going to spend millions and millions of our taxpayer dollars, there needs to be evidence there that a crime has in fact occurred.
Right. Well,
it's frustrating.
You're listening to me. I just, I could imagine if the shoe were on the other foot, if we had a Democrat controlled house and these kinds of shenanigans were going on in support of conservatives,
The government just shut down while they had hearings. I mean, you know, these poor people that are in prison for the January 11th debacle, or January 6th, I'm sorry, January 6th debacle, these people's lives have been ruined. They have been bankrupted. They've lost their homes. Many families have been torn apart. You know, I don't think a Republican should ever get up and speak without speaking about the injustice that's been done today to those people.
I agree.
I think there needs to be more. We need to have a louder voice from the people that we elect to Congress.
I'm with you on that, James, and I appreciate that call. And we try to hold everybody accountable here. And again, this is not about going after Biden for the sake of going after Biden. This is about going after Biden because he broke the law. And it's very clear to me, based on the video laptop evidence, that Hunter Biden broke laws. And the question now is, did Joe Biden break laws? Is he, in fact, the big guy that they allege? And I believe he is. But they've got to follow through here. And I think that's the big issue. It's the follow through. Appreciate the call, James. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go back to this audio of this guy from Tennessee. And we're going to play this over and over and over again because you need to hear this for yourself. Folks, there is a great fraud being perpetrated on the American people. And it's coming out of the critical race theory movement. And they want you to believe that every black person in America has been oppressed. And that's what we were led to believe about this ex-state representative, Justin Pearson from Memphis, Tennessee, who tried to incite a riot on the floor of the Tennessee House of Representatives. He was kicked out for violating the rules of decorum because he pulled in a bullhorn and tried to incite a riot. And so he was kicked out. He was expelled, as he should have been. And so now he's playing the victim and claiming this is all about race, and the mainstream media is eating all this stuff up. It's a lie. All of it is a lie. This man wants you to believe, oh, I'm a young black man who's been oppressed. Well, it turns out this young black man was from a very well-off family. As a matter of fact, he went to college at Bowdoin in the great state of Maine, $75,000 a year tuition. He ran for student body president. And, of course, now he's got the big power fro. He's got the MLK black preacher voice. But that's not who he was just a few years ago. And this is 2017 when he ran for the student body president at Bowdoin College. Take a listen.
I'm Justin J. Pearson.
Yes, I tell you, it was a sad day on Saturday.
There are a few reasons that we're running this campaign this year.
But oh, we have good news, folks. We've got good news that Sunday always comes.
There are many issues that we can work together to solve.
And every one of us, in order to make the state of Tennessee the place that it ought to be in, so I've still got hope because I know we...
And let's chart ourselves to a better future.
We are still here, and we will never quit.
All you folks listening to us in Memphis, Tennessee on KWAM, you got snookered. You got snookered. Now, there is some glimmer of hope here because the Shelby County, Tennessee commissioners have to meet tomorrow and they get to decide whether or not to send this guy back to the state capitol where he will be reinstated. But I would like to know from at least one county commissioner who is brave enough to play this audio. And we're going to post the video on our website. But I'd like for them to play this and have Mr. Pearson explain to his voters exactly who he really is. Is he this Black Panther activist radical wannabe, or is he the guy with the white voice in the suit? And what is going on there? I think people deserve to know who they're sending to the state house and, quite frankly, whether or not this guy is some sort of opposer. Remember, I don't know if you're into the comic book world, but they have the comic book conventions and they have the cosplay where you can dress up in costumes and you can be your favorite character. And it's as if Justin Pearson here on the national stage is cosplaying Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X at the same time, or a Black Panther. I think the people are deserving of an answer here. But I think nationally, before everybody comes to Tennessee and burns us down and runs us out of our homes, I think the people of America need to understand they've been played too. We've all been played. And now you've heard it for yourself. The video is even more damning. And by the way, again, elections have consequences. Only 20% of Christians went out to vote in the last national election. What's wrong, folks? Get out there. Vote. Want to know why this radical Justin Pearson was elected? He talks about disenfranchising 80-something thousand voters in his district by not having representation. That's a load of hooey. It turns out only about 1,200 people actually voted for the guy. I mean, we're talking about, what, 1% of registered voters even bothered to go and vote for this guy. So it's not that we have an election fraud problem. The problem is people are not going to the polls and voting. And no, I'm not no, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's no voter fraud. I do believe that to be the case. But if people just went out, if we just had 30%, just all right, 25% of Christians had gotten out and voted in the last presidential election, Donald John Trump would be midway through his final term in office. But if you're not going to get out and vote, then, well, that's what happens. All right, folks, been a great show today. And again, head over to the website if you missed any of our interviews. Scott Walker, you had Ronnie Jackson, Jim Jordan, Edward Graham. You can download our free podcast. And while you're there, I'd encourage you to check out our upcoming trip to Israel. Very excited about this. We're going to be spending 7 days and 7 nights in the Holy Land. All of the information is there. You don't have to pay for the whole thing up front. You can actually pay on an installment plan, and it's going to be a first-class trip. I can promise you that. It's the journey of a lifetime, a once-in-a-lifetime trip to the Holy Land, and we're also going to give you a private tour of the Knesset. You're going to be meeting with some Israeli government officials and also some of my special friends that live in Israel, names that you will be very familiar with, and all that information is over at toddstearns.com. All right, it's been a great day, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow. In the meantime, be sure to check out toddstearns.com. All right, be good, America.
Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs.
I never really thought about tools until I bought a house in the suburbs. It's like this weird homeowner test if I need a tool for a project and don't have it. And my neighbor Ted loves to give me that look when I ask to borrow a pole saw. A year ago, I didn't even know pole saws existed. And now I gotta borrow one from Ted? What is happening?
Anyway, when you save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto, that's the easy part of adjusting to the suburbs. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.